morning. It's 19 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. No está complicado. Bringing us into the morning interview this morning, Wayne Wallace on trombone off his CD, The Nature of the Beat. Wayne Wallace, the man, is right here in the studio. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Fighting off an Alaska cold.
No, actually, it's a San Francisco cold from my granddaughter, and I got it Sunday, and I've just been doing everything I can to get rid of it, and I'm just at the tail end.
Okay. Well, I hope you get some hot tea in you. And
we had the wonderful meal last night at that restaurant, and she just plied us with wonderful Spanish food and tapas and everything, and just the garlic on, off of that alone, I feel better.
Is this your first trip to Alaska?
Yes, loving it, actually. It's beautiful.
All right. Where do you come from?
I am a native San Franciscan, born and raised.
Okay. I want to ask you something about that piece we were just listening to, No Está Complicado.
Yes.
And I speak to a lot of jazz festival musicians and Sitka Summer Music Festival musicians, but particularly as a jazz musician, when you're making a recording, how do you know you got it right? I mean, in a jazz performance, you know, there's kind of an energy going back and forth between the audience and the...
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's kind of a feedback loop happening in the studio setting. I mean, how do you know you nailed it? I mean...
That's an excellent question, actually. No one's really asked me that question. But I feel it's right. Part of it, there's a synergy between the arranger and the musicians. The musicians want to give their best performance.
Mm-hmm.
When they're into a piece and it's just not, okay, it's good enough, it needs to be better, you know you're doing the right thing. And if I do the arrangement... If the foundation of the arrangement is good from the beginning and I know the direction I want to go in and I can give that direction to the musicians, I would say 90% of the time it just comes out fine.
Even though you're kind of in a sort of the laboratory setting of the studio, because there's just the interaction between the musicians.
Well, there's that, but I do a lot of work on computer at home where I build the arrangement off of computer. So I even give them a demo tape of what I've done so that they can put their energy and their ideas into mine. So if the platform is there, which is half the battle in this, because otherwise you're right, it's haphazard.
Mm-hmm.
You either get something really great or something that goes, that isn't what I had in mind. You know, so if you give people direction, it helps.
Okay. All right. How did you get into Latin music? How did you take this turn? I mean, I've been playing your music all week long here, and I pulled your bio this morning, and I saw San Francisco performer, and I thought, I wasn't expecting you to be a West Coast
That's a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. What reeled you into the Latin, the sort of the Caribbean?
I guess, you know, being on the West Coast, you get people from all over the world settling in San Francisco. And I love the part of town. Well, I just love being in that spot because all the musicians are open to each other's styles of music and sharing. In the Mission District in San Francisco, there was a club called Caesars. And I started there, and I was surrounded by Pete Escovedo. There's the Cal Jader faction, all of those things for years. Well, even if you're not playing the music, it's around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got in a band, wanted to learn more about it. John Santos is here with his group. John was a mentor at the beginning and continues to be one. Who else? I was just around great people. Armando Paraza, Francisco Acuarella, and then I started meeting musicians from the East Coast like the Gonzalez brothers and Manny Oquendo, Steve Berrios. Recorded and met Tito Puente, gave me a great music lesson. I'll never forget that. It was a wonderful lesson, like a how to voice and arrange horns in the genre. And I was just, it felt natural. I was in the pop field, like you see where there's Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston in the bio.
Right.
I was working with famous record producer Narda Michael Wallen from the early 80s into the mid 90s. And I just made a conscious effort to say, I'm going to leave the pop music world behind, not even get worry about it, and just do this. And I got a grant from the NEA, National Endowment for the Arts, to write a suite. And part of that was doing research in Cuba. So I went to the National School of the Arts for 5 years in a row and studied it in Havana and really just started to embrace the music from the inside out instead of the outside in.
I was going to say, once you're in Cuba, that's all she wrote. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it's very seductive.
Yeah.
There's it. Okay. And from there, and that led me to Puerto Rican music and to Afro-Peruvian music. I'd already been doing Brazilian music and Venezuelan music. And I'm currently teaching a course down at San Jose State University back in California where we're doing music and culture of Latin America. So it's allowed me a chance to go even further in depth with the history and different styles. I left out Haiti. I'm sorry. Haiti, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic on down the line.
Yeah, pan-Caribbean is what...
And pan-South American, too. Okay. It's a whole Afrocentric concept of what's going on with that.
Well, one big idea, probably the central idea of the Sitka Jazz Festival is this interaction with students from all over Alaska. And this year, the Latin theme, Terry and Jan Lovett were here yesterday, and they said this idea just kind of evolved organically, that it's going with Latin jazz this year. And when you sit down with students and you're talking about Latin jazz and you have a very limited time, what's the central idea you want to convey to them? Is Latin jazz kind of defined by rhythm? Is it the melody? Is it the way the percussion interacts with you know, what do you say to sort of set it up for them?
Actually, the answer to all your questions is yes.
Okay.
Everything you just put out there is a yes. And I think we make the mistake, maybe as teachers or the way we look at music, of thinking of it as something different than another language. And culturally, different styles of music are regional. The way people talk in the South affects the way they play. Same thing in Chicago, New York, West Coast, all those things, the food you eat, the things you do. It's a different concept as you move through the world. I like to really try to get kids to think that you know a lot of these words already. They're just going to be done in a different way because you can play a concert C, but the inflection of it becomes different. The context becomes different. So what's a good example? I think when I first started studying Spanish, my teacher was brilliant, and she said, don't worry about any words. Just learn how to pronounce the alphabet first. If you learn how to pronounce the alphabet, Spanish, you pronounce every vowel. You don't sound like – you don't sound out of context. You can say the word, but it won't sound right. It's like how when we hear people from other countries speak English and it doesn't sound right. They've learned the words, but it's out of context. So I try to move kids within what I like to call a cultural container. Move them towards like, okay, here's what it's like. Here's the ambiance of how this music that this music is played in. Okay, now you just move yourself towards that and everything will be fine.
And is there like a basic alphabet of Latin jazz? Do you pull out your trombone and say, here's what you guys have probably been taught to play, and here's the Latin.
And you were right the first time. It's basically rhythm.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're thinking jazz, this is a broad stroke, but I tend to find more Afro-Caribbean music to be more circular. Jazz can be more moving forward in more of a linear move. Now, modern jazz now is getting more circular.
Right.
And I know that's a broad, weird, abstract thought. But when you hear a polyrhythm of triple and duple meter really strongly played, it's like you're floating in water. And that's where you just get this timeless feeling. Jazz can do that. Traditional jazz doesn't do it as much.
Right.
But we're moving back to that concept. It's more of an Afrocentric concept from the origins of just drums to me. And so once you get that in the bass and the piano and everything else, like Vijay Iyer's new record, Historicity, he's got that floating feel in it. With just a trio, no percussion or anything, but he's grasped that concept.
Wayne, we've just got about a minute or so.
Sure.
Why are you here now?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Another existential question. Through Baba Thade and all the good folks of Terry and Jan asking, they came down to a music workshop we were doing in the Lafayette Jazz Camp. And they just saw what we were doing there, and as you were saying, I think that's where they got the inspiration for this. We have Afro-Caribbean music is a large component of whatever happens in the Bay Area. Even the folks that do gospel music have worked with us on some level or another and vice versa on their records. So it's pretty natural, and we have a really strong community in the Bay Area.
All right. So bring it on.
It'll be easy. We'll have fun. We got some great musicians here. We'll have fun, and we'll bring the energy level up.
All right. Wayne Wallace, thanks very much for coming in this morning.
You're welcome, Robert.
We look forward to seeing you on stage Friday and Saturday night, starting 6:30 at the Sitka Performing Arts Center.
Which I'm looking forward to seeing that building. I've heard wonderful things about it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good venue.
That's what I've heard.
I think you'll like it. We're going to go out with more No Está Complicado.
Yes, sir.